Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. Being in business for yourself is a daunting enough task. When your business has employees, the job becomes that much harder. At some point, you'll have to make a decision of whether or not it's best for all to let an employee go. It's your business, and you need to do whatever is necessary to protect your business. Though terminating an employee is a tough decision, keeping a problem employee is a drain on your time, money, and energy. Everyone has done it. Held on to an employee too long, for whatever reason. The person is family, a friend, or you just fear the whole process. You just can't seem to muster up enough courage to get rid of that one particular employee. For some owners, it's a simple process. For others, the prospect of releasing an employee is a gut-wrenching experience they'd rather avoid. It doesn't have to be. Not when you have telltale signs it's time to let that employee go. Sometimes, he or she is practically asking for it. Deciding to terminate an employee, even a toxic employee, is difficult under most circumstances. There's always a little piece of most business owners that truly hopes and believes they can turn bad behavior around. They'll counsel, coach, and discipline to the best of their abilities, but eventually a decision has to be made. Keep in mind, this is a business decision. It should be the last resort, but when an employee who's been given every chance to succeed is negatively impacting your team and the company, it's time to let them go. What are some of the signs that it's time to let an employee go? Here with me today to go over those signs is Karen Ortley. Now, Karen is a human resources manager for Walmart and Company, and she has also been with Lowe's Companies. She did that for 12 years as a human resources manager in Philadelphia and South Jersey. She's here today to talk about, like I said, talk about letting employees go, what are the telltale signs. I'll ask you, tell me a little bit more about what you're now doing for Walmart.
Right now, I generally have a territory. So mine is South Jersey. So I go everywhere from Freehold down to Rio Grande area, and I support the stores, helping them staff, train, develop people and talent, mm-hmm. and you know, make sure that we're being compliant with all labor laws and things like that.
Okay, I'm a person who manages people in the corporate environment. Now, I can tell you the job I dreaded the most was letting an employee go, whether it was due to economic reasons or because they're just not suited for the position. Something told me I was doing a disservice to this person. Now, sometimes there are obvious signs that employees should be terminated, such as constant lateness. They're often absent. They're not getting the job done. They're continually spreading harmful gossip. So those are the easy signs. Well, let's go over them, those signs first, and tell the listeners why it's necessary to nip that in the bud. First, constant lateness. What do you think?
Well, constant lateness, I think when that happens, it's going to end up impacting, you know, your customer service and just the ability to be able to get the job done. Mm-hmm. So it really impedes you as a business owner if you have somebody that you can't depend on.
I see. And what about I guess it's similar, same thing, frequent absenteeism.
Absolutely, same thing, but even worse because now they're out for the whole day, so they're not going to be able to get there and get it made up, and you just never know when you're going to be able to count on them. You know, it's just not worth your time.
And this I've had happen to me before, not getting the job done.
I think that that's hard because you want people to be successful and you give them time and you help train them and give them, you know, the benefit of the doubt. But if they're unable to do the job, no matter how nice they are, they're not helping you and your business. So you have to make that tough decision.
Yeah, I know. It's been pretty tough sometimes. I remember doing it, telling an employee that they're not getting the job done, and I had promoted them, and they were not doing the job to which I promoted them. I had to go say, tell them, you can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's the worst, right?
When
we thought that they had everything
we had
that
somebody who would be great for this, and turns out that they're just
they're falling down. They can't do it.
Right.
And it makes you feel bad because now you thought you noticed something in them that was going to be great, and it turns out it's not.
Right.
But it makes you feel that much worse about yourself because you say, "Ooh, did I misjudge this? Am I doing the right thing?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of makes you think about yourself. Maybe I shouldn't do this anymore.
Right. Well, and that just so shows you every job is different, and what skills you need in one job doesn't necessarily make you successful in the next. Right. I think we see that a lot of times when you promote a great worker or doer into a leadership role and they're just not a leader.
Yes, and that's exactly what this was mm-hmm. I had done. Okay. Now, the last one we're talking about is starting or spreading harmful gossip. That can really destroy the entire place.
Absolutely. You end up spending a lot of time, you know, on things that aren't helping your business get ahead. And that's why we hired, you know, spent a lot of time last time when we were here talking about hiring somebody, put a lot of effort in that. And then to have somebody be non-productive and spread gossip, it's kind of like, you know, that old saying, you know, one rotten apple spoils the bunch.
Right.
And that happens in the workplace as well.
All right, then. So what are other signs that the business owner should be looking for?
Well, I think some of the signs you want to think about are people who are resistant to change, that they don't really want to fit into your company culture and how things are. I think just as bad as people who are, you know, apathetic and you know, just aren't interested in their job. People who are, you know, cause arguments or argue over policies or procedures or argue with other associates and employees. I think when you have employees that give you unreasonable demands, you know, whether it's time off or other things that they want, I think a lot of times people resort to passive aggressive behavior. And sometimes we don't see that as a owner, we don't see that right away because mm-hmm. we might see the good side. But that can be that really deadly to the rest of the team. Dishonesty in any way, persistent negativity. And I think anybody who's untruthful with you or manipulates the truth.
When you said resistant to change, sometimes couldn't this mean that the person's just questioning what he thinks is a poor choice in something?
I think you have to have an atmosphere where somebody can question because they have to understand why something's being done. But it shouldn't be somebody who's always resistant to the way you need to do things, especially in the business atmosphere that we have now where, you know, change is constant. So we have to have teams that are, or, you know, employees, I'm used to teams, but employees okay. that are, you know, understand with what needs to be done and has the ability to change and do what the owner's asking for.
Well, when you say they don't fit into the company, culture. How do you mean someone doesn't fit into that culture?
Well, I think every company has a different culture, and company cultures are kind of like buying clothes online. You like what you see, but when you get them, they just don't fit. You may try to make it work, but it just doesn't feel right or look right. And the same thing would apply to the employee. They may have the, you know, all of the basics that you're looking for, but when they start working for you, they somehow just don't fit. And companies that want to build and maintain strong cultures shouldn't tolerate anyone who works at a cross purpose to what the desired culture is. Mm-hmm. There's a natural transition time for any new employee, but if you're constantly hearing the employee make negative comments about how the company operates and criticizes leadership or not developing solid relationships with the others, you know, in the office mm-hmm. and becoming part of the team, warning alarms should definitely be going off in your head that something's mm-hmm. wrong. And I think the biggest concern with firing someone who's not a good fit is that you have to make sure that the claim against the person isn't discriminatory. So the key takeaway here is that you can fire someone for not being a good fit. And to do so, you want to make sure your actions are not discriminatory, either consciously or unconsciously, by having a proper termination policy in place that shows how someone is fired, for what reason someone can be fired, and a documentation process that shows how the termination was carried out.
You talked about apathy.
Mm-hmm.
How can you tell that it's really apathy?
Well, you don't know until you talk with the individual. And the biggest problem with apathy is that it not only prevents people from doing their jobs, it's quite contagious. Should you wind up with an outbreak of apathy, recovery can be quite a chore for you. If an apathetic employee is one who previously displayed no such behavior, it would be to your benefit to get a feel for what's going on. You know, if the employee is undergoing a personal issue, make sure he understands that although you respect his personal life, he needs to keep the apathy in check. And if the employee indicates no issues are going on, then it's very likely his apathy is aimed specifically at work.
You mentioned arguments as a sign that an employee should be terminated. Now, I remember when I was working for a company, there was always one or two people who could push my buttons. Does that mean that I should have been terminated?
Well, I think argumentative employees usually take two forms, right? Those employees who feel strongly about their positions and those who have grown weary of their environment and wish to argue for the simple fact of releasing aggression. In the former, congratulations, you have a passionate employee, right? And if it's the latter, you have someone on your team who has reached the point where a blowout is imminent. And when the latter begins frequently arguing with you, other management or other employees or clients, it's a very good sign that it's time for that employee to go. If you're kind-hearted, you could and probably should bring the employee in for a conference to see if any issues can be resolved. Otherwise, sorry to say, but it's time to hit the road.
Okay. Unreasonable demands, that's another sign you mentioned. Well, why would an employee start making unreasonable demands, and what should be done about them?
Well, I think when an employee becomes dissatisfied with either his or her job or work environment, they'll start asking for things that aren't realistic. They're practically begging for you to let them go. If you find this to be the case, oblige them. Right? Do take one thing under consideration, though. If more than one employee seems to be making unreasonable demands, it is upon you to figure out if there's one employee driving this coup, for lack of better words, or if you have actually created an environment that breeds such behavior. Take responsibility and try to view the situation objectively. You might discover something that can be easily remedied with just a conversation.
You mentioned passive-aggressive behavior, and you said something. Sometimes that's really hard to detect. Mm-hmm. So what should you look for?
All right. I think when we're talking about passive-aggressive, you know those smiley face emoticons at the end of slightly sarcastic and critical emails. That's a classic example of passive-aggressive behavior where the sender is trying to couch his criticism in feigned humor. This is toxic and can be hard to manage because it manifests in so many ways that appears to be innocuous in and of themselves. Veiled jokes, procrastination, sullenness, resentment, and deliberate or repeated failure to follow through on tasks are all signs of passive-aggressive behavior. You have to be careful, really careful.
Firing an employee for dishonesty is probably the one reason most business owners have little problem with, but is there a right way?
Well, the first step to take before terminating a dishonest employee is to verify the act or acts of which he is being accused of. Hearsay or circumstantial evidence won't hold up in court if the employee sues you. You want to document the evidence of transgression if possible, using computer records, video surveillance, telephone logs, or written statement by an employee. When you're certain you want to fire the employee, review his contract, if any. If you agreed to a verbal contract, recall any promises that you may have made. You can consult an attorney with experience in employment law to get advice as to how to terminate the employee and whether you need to offer any severance. Discuss the circumstances of the termination to determine if the employee's actions constitute a breach of contract that might relieve you of any obligations to him. And ask the attorney if you should contact the police to verify criminal conduct conduct or press charges. Ask whether or not you should tell the employee why he is being fired during this termination, and determine if you need to pay the employee at the time of termination and whether you are legally allowed to hold or withhold any pay.
Uh-huh.
So you would bring the employee into a private room with at least two members of the company present. If you have security personnel, I'd have one present in the room, you know, in the room or just outside the door. During the meeting, an information technology employee should be changing the password to the employee's computer and any other passwords that you give the employee access to any of your documents, websites, or computers. You want to tell the employee he's being terminated and present him with any papers he needs to sign ending his relationship with the company. You can request any keys or access cards and any other company property the employee might have, such as a laptop or company phone. Tell the employee whether or not he can use his computer to retrieve any emails or personal information. You wouldn't give the employee a reason for his termination if your attorney advised you not to. Any admissions you make can be used against you in a wrongful termination lawsuit. So you want to be really careful in these instances. Then you need to supervise the employee's exit. After the termination meeting, you'll walk the employee to his office or the exit. If you will allow the employee to access his computer, have a security or IT person there to witness what he is doing. While this is embarrassing for the employee, he's been dishonest and you must protect your assets. You can provide a box for the employee to use to pack up personal items from his wall or desk. I've even, you know, packed it up and shipped it to their house so you can just have them exit quickly.
Yeah, okay.
But lastly, you want to keep quiet, and this is really important. You don't want to discuss the employee's termination with your staff. You may announce that the person no longer works for the company, but you should not give the reason. Ask your employees not to discuss personnel issues, including employee departure.
Yeah, good idea. I've been through that where they've actually had to terminate employees for theft.
Right.
But totally different circumstance in a corporate environment. But yeah. Nobody, don't tell anybody what's going on because you never know what's going to come back if you start spreading rumors or things start spreading out.
Right. You don't want a defamation
Absolutely.
Case on your hands.
Absolutely. The next to last reason you gave is persistent negativity. Some would say that the employee is just being devil's advocate. So how would you address that?
Well, if an employee's negative comments are disrupting meetings and undermining the work you're doing as a business leader, you have to tackle the issue both tactfully and directly. You can try to diffuse the situation at the moment, then pull the employee aside later for a one-on-one, talk about their behavior. It's important to focus on the way the comments are affecting the meeting and the ability of the rest of the team to listen instead of attacking the employee about their personality. Before firing the employee, make sure that the behavior is in direct violation of your company policy.
Uh-huh. And the last one you mentioned was distorts or manipulates the truth. Now, many times that can be pretty hard to pinpoint. So what should a person be looking for?
Well, some employees who are very skilled at manipulating or distorting the truth, in whatever difficult situation they were in, they would find a kernel of truth to justify and excuse their involvement to the point that you would feel compelled to side with them. So you have to be discerning and consistent in your approach to dealing with manipulative people. Make sure you document your interactions so you have sufficient data to support your termination decision.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, thanks, Karen. You've given a lot of great information. But now that you've given all the listeners all these signs that they need to terminate an employee, how about giving them some things they should do when it comes to actually terminating the employee?
Sure. So terminating employees is one of the most unpleasant aspects of a business owner or manager's job duties, but sometimes it's absolutely necessary in order to continue the business of the employer. But if terminating an employee is necessary, then it should be performed in the most ethical and professional manner possible. Following the proper protocol in conducting the termination softens the blow to the terminated employee, who's very often surprised that they're being terminated. And it also protects your business from potential litigation arising from the termination and reassures that you did the right thing. Whether the terminated employee was a good worker or a bad worker is irrelevant. The decision to terminate an employee once made sets in motion a number of duties of the employer to handle the termination in a professional manner, preserving the dignity of the terminated employee and protecting the employer's interests, as the employer does not want to see an angry former employee down the road in court. So once it has been decided that it's in the company's best interest to terminate an employee, certain practical business issues must be confronted along with the legal issues. In the short term, the employer must decide how to distribute the terminated employee's existing projects and reassign their job duties to other workers so that there won't be any impact to the company and to the work. In the long term, the company will need to continue producing goods or services once that employee is gone, but at least in the short term, they'll have fewer human resources available to, you know, produce those goods and their services. A heavier burden will fall on the remaining workforce, and they'll be expected to increase their productivity. So the company must anticipate how these additional stresses on the workforce, the company's finances, and the public image will be addressed prior to implementing the termination. Like all business decisions, terminations must be thought through and properly planned out before being set in motion. So with that said, your first step is you want to consider your company policies and documents. Step number two is to consider oral or implied contracts of employment. Your third step is to consider state and federal laws protecting certain classes of employees. Step four is to review the employee's personnel file. Step five is to consider the employee's eligibility for unemployment insurance. And step six is to consider legal ramifications of not terminating the employee. So just remember, there's no way to inform an employee that he or she is being terminated without the risk of inflicting some emotional pain. Thus, it behooves the employer to state the reason for termination with the utmost care. An employee whose feelings are badly bruised or who feels slighted will be more likely to seek out a lawyer and explore a wrongful termination suit. It's not necessary to give the reasons for termination at the time of a termination. A short statement indicating that it is no longer in the best interest of the company to continue the employment relation suffices. Nothing more should be said to the employee. Rather, the employee is already starting to determine whether sufficient information exists to file for unemployment benefits, as well as to determine whether the employer is firing them for cause or as a pretext for some other impermissible reason, such as race or sexual orientation. So it's also considered good practice to have the employee's direct supervisor be the one to inform the employee of the termination, and have a member of the company's management team or human resources department and/or attorney present as well. This will demonstrate that the decision was made collectively rather than by one individual, but nevertheless with input and approval of someone who has firsthand knowledge of the employee's job performance. So at the termination meeting, the employer should ask for the employee to immediately turn over all company property that they have in their possession. And this would include key cards, keys, and other devices used for employee access to the company's premises, as well as any other company property that the employee has at their home or workstation. The employer should gather all of the employee's personal belongings before the meeting and turn them over to the employee during the meeting. And the terminated employee should not be permitted to return to their work area to gather their things or to speak out to other employees. The employee must also be notified that they have a duty to maintain the confidentiality of all company trade secrets and passwords. So care should also be taken to delete and remove the terminated employee's name from company letterhead, stationery, emails and you know, any websites following that termination. So that wraps up what I would do as terminating an employee.
Well, that's a lot of great information. A lot to digest, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, listeners, just to recap a little of what Karen has told you, you do your best to hire the right people. You know how important a strong team is to your success. Sometimes, though, it just doesn't work out, and certain employees end up doing the business more harm than good, which is a situation you can't afford to ignore. Now, team members who aren't performing as they should can cause a lot of problems. They lead to extra stress, cost you money, hurt the business image, and jeopardize your marketing efforts. The hiring and firing employees is a tough business. This is especially true when you're creating an environment of trust and ease. In the end, there will always be hard decisions to make. As difficult as it can be, you have to know when it's time to fire an employee and take the appropriate action. If you have evaluated an employee's performance, attitude towards growth, motivation, and the cultural fit, and decide it's in your company's best interest to let him or her go, you still need to consider one more thing: legal issues. One of the most important things to consider is whether or not you're firing someone for the right reasons. If there is even the slightest chance that the reason you're asking someone to leave has anything to do with age, race, sex, national origin, religion, and disability, you should consult with a lawyer or an HR specialist immediately before making any decisions. Also, plans on having two people in the room when you're telling someone he or she is fired. It not only will help you be more rational and keep your emotions in check, but the other person can serve as a witness and take notes in the event the employee files a claim against the company. Okay, listeners, the ball is in your court now. Do you have any employees who are showing any of the signs Karen laid out? If so, you need to take action. Just remember, the right way to properly fire someone begins well in advance of the actual termination. Harvard Business Review notes how firing an employee is one of the most difficult things a leader must do. A leader must remember that it's important for the organization and must focus on how the firing makes good business sense and helps the team going forward. However, before the actual firing occurs, several other steps must occur first in order to ensure the termination is aligned with the organization's goals and therefore good for the firm. In other words, firing is the final step in a fair and transparent process. Firing is a task that many leaders hate, especially if an employee has been with the organization long term. However, as leaders, you understand the impact that poor performance can have on the overall morale of the company. Whatever the reason, knowing how to terminate an employee compassionately after having fairly and consistently worked to improve their performance is an ability that managers must develop to achieve business results. If you'd like more information about this show, or for that matter, any previous Score Business Point show, you may email us at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's a business topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have some comments about this show or past shows, you may email us at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org.
sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert,
like my guest, Karen Ortley,
and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on local workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register.
I'd like to thank my guest, Karen Ortley, for being here today. That's all the time we have for today. Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.